This podcast may contain content that is not suitable for listeners under the age of 18. If you are 17 or younger and wish to educate yourself about sex and relationships, you should visit scarleteen.com. That's scarleteen with one T.
Hey, I'm Alicia, your non-monogamous relationship coach. Welcome to the podcast where my friends and I chat about our relationships, enthusiastic non-monogamy, polyamory, swinging, kink, and our lives. You'll get a candid peek into what makes it worth it to live life outside the box. And in case you're still wondering, nope, we're not monogamous. Hey, hey, hey. If you're feeling frustrated and overwhelmed by trying to constantly improve communication and constantly improve your self-awareness in your non-monogamous relationships, and yet you're finding you aren't getting the success that you want, you are not alone. Today, I'm talking to Randy Robbins. She's a therapist turned life and relationship coach for polyamorous people. We're multiplying, guys. There are multiples of us. And she's had a similar experience to me in hearing a lot of clients share about judgmental and hurtful things that have been said to them about their relationships, sometimes from their therapists even. And this led Randy into diving into coaching as a way to help polyamorous folks around the world and supporting people and just really being able to be there and understand what y'all are going through. Randy's been polyamorous for over a decade, and she's also been an organizer in kink communities. She has a husband, a non-nesting life partner, a toddler, two dogs. She's got experience, guys. And today you're going to hear a little bit about that. And we're talking about some of the various forms of non-monogamous relationships and all the intricacies of those and how to manage the exciting and sometimes overwhelming emotions that come with NRE, new relationship energy, and some of the benefits of poly relationship anarchy and various styles of doing relationships other than monogamy. It's a fantastic episode. I hope you enjoy it. If you do, please leave us a review or, you know, a thumbs up or pop some little stars on there, whatever app you're listening to us on lets you do that, please. That ensures that more people will hear about non-monogamy and less people will feel alone. And if you really like it, you can support us on our Patreon. It's at patreon.com/notmonogamous. And by being a supporter of the show, you're saying, I support this thing you're doing and I'll give you lots of thanks. And if you become one of my lovers on Patreon, you're also going to get a Nope, We're Not Monogamous mug, which are pretty dope, just like Rob N. is going to be getting pretty soon. He's one of our newest lovers, and I adore him. Thank you so much. So go check that out. Listen to the episode. I hope you enjoy it. Bye. I found it. I'm almost a professional. Awesome. Cool. Welcome, Randy. I'm so happy you're here. And I'm really glad that we get to connect because it sounds like we're running in some of the same circles and working with the same people. So
yeah, small world. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So I would love to start. I want to ask you about your work because we work in with a similar crowd. But I would love to hear about your non-monogamy, what that looks like. If you're polyamorous, non-monogamous, how do you identify in your relationship style?
Yeah, absolutely. So I say polyamorous, and for structure, I would say I lean more towards the relationship anarchy end of the spectrum. So like, you know, like I have a husband, but we don't identify as like having a hierarchy. We have like kind of other life partners outside of our marriage who we just don't cohabitate with. And so we're open to relationships being whatever they need to be or whatever fits.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Awesome. That's relatable. Very similar. have you guys always been polyamorous, or were you monogamous and then opened up?
Yeah, when we met, we were both at a point where we're like, we want to be polyamorous. That's what we're doing. That's a non-negotiable. We were just focused on each other for like a few months when we first started out, just to kind of figure out what we were doing without introducing a lot of other variables, because neither of us were seeing other people at the time. But since then, yeah, we've gone through periods where we weren't exactly practicing. We weren't seeing other people, but yeah, we've been polyamorous the whole time. We just hit 9 years dating this February.
Gosh, that's so fun. Our lives are like on a parallel trajectory. My husband and I, same. We have never been monogamous together, and it's been 9 years. In July, I think it'll be 9 years.
Wow. That's so wild.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
Yeah. And it's, I think, it. I find it really interesting. Oh, going from, well, I was married 13 years monogamously. And then I was like, well, I don't want to do that again. I'm going to be non-monogamous. And then, I met Rob and we started dating, and he was seeing other people. And so I had this like idea of where I wanted to go. And then I had to, you know, decondition all of my monogamous beliefs. And, while like falling in love and being an NRE and just all the things. Oh, that was fun.
Yes, not an easy task.
Totally isn't.
Yeah.
So you guys met and you were both like at that place of like, we want to be polyamorous. Was it, had you been polyamorous before?
So I had my first polyamorous relationship about when I turned 18, and I'd been kind of in and out of it after that point. And then around the time, shortly before I met my husband, I was like, no, like, I want to stick with this. I'm not messing around with the monogamy anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's how that happened.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I'm curious what was it that had you like, oh, okay, enough monogamy?
Yeah, I think some of it was like having that explicit communication about desires and like interests, and that not being taboo or threatening. I know some people identify as polyamorous almost like a sexual orientation, and I would say that that's not me. I identify with it as like being like an ethical orientation that I believe in, of like, for me, like, it's important that my partners like have that autonomy. But I wouldn't say that it came naturally to me. So I had to work through some stuff. And I find that the framework of polyamory is better for me for like managing and addressing that stuff than like being in a monogamous situation.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Similarly, I think monogamy has too many defaults that it's easy to fall back on and not do the hard thing of having like big conversations. Like, we can just, I'm just going to avoid that and just default to what is like, I can lean back on.
Yeah. We, a lot of the time we grow up with like no examples of non-monogamous relationships, especially ones that are healthy. And sometimes we don't have examples of healthy relationships at all. Yeah. So there's kind of pros and cons for non-monogamy. We have to like really make our own way. So it's good for like deconstructing some of those toxic scripts, but then also like you're figuring it out from scratch, and that can be a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot, but it's also kind of a pro in the sense that that you get to create what you want and what works for you, and not just do what society, family, friends, partners expect of you.
Yeah, you get to do what absolutely works. Absolutely.
I love it. That's so good. What would you say have been the biggest challenges or like growth areas in being polyamorous?
That's a tough one. Because having done this kind of off and on throughout my adult life, like I learned how to have relationships, kind of in and out of this structure. And so it's hard to pinpoint like, okay, what about this was like polyamorous versus like what was learning how to be an adult and have a relationship at all?
Yeah, totally.
Something that I think I had to learn a lot about was managing NRE. You know, that's something that I would say I feel very enthusiastically about when I'm in it. And so learning to manage that so that it doesn't disrupt my life, disrupt my other relationships, and like blind me to like red flags and, in a potential new relationship. I'd say that's something that was a big area of growth for me for a long time.
Yeah, totally. New relationship energy is really fun and really challenging.
It's our brain chemicals. It hits that part of the brain that's like, do it again. And so we do it again and again.
Chase that high. It's going to be so good.
Yeah. Never mind, like the things that are catching fire.
Yeah, right. I mean, what fire? It's fine. We're all fine here. Okay, I have a couple questions about that. New relationship energy. What's my question? What would you say have been like, what are the main ways that you, combat NRE in the sense of like, maybe not noticing red flags or, making decisions you might not otherwise make? How do you recognize it? And then how do you combat that?
So I think at this point, recognizing it is just like knowing ahead of time that this is something that I tend to get sucked into. And so kind of bracing myself for that whenever I'm about to like start dating, just like, be cautious. And I know for myself that like for the first like 8 months, like I give myself like this time set of like, I can't take myself or this too seriously until about 8 months has passed. Cause that's about the time where like, I kind of hit the peak of it and I calm back down. So that keeps me from like, escalating the relationship too quickly, which hopefully also gives me time to observe like, oh, this is not what I had hoped for. Like maybe this is not going to work out. And so since we're not too committed, like let's reel this back and maybe not do this.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's really good. I am someone who also gets very caught up in NRE, and that's what I discovered was like, move really, really slowly. Even though everything in me is like, spend all of your time with this person, talk to this person all day, every day, climb inside of their body and be them. That's what my brain and my body are saying. And I know that I have to go really, really slow. And make sure I'm really intentional with my partners that I have, with my kids, with my business, with all my other responsibilities, even when I feel like all I want to do is go be with that person.
Right.
It's really helpful if they are also on board with moving slowly.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they have their own commitments and their own things that they're enthusiastic about, because if they're also just focused on like this relationship, then like that can just become this feedback loop that gets way too intense.
It's a hard one. I did that recently, actually. And I've got to dial that back. So you and I both have had enough experience to go, okay, that this is what I do. That's a thing I do. But what about those people who maybe are opening a long-term relationship or are new to dating or haven't had a lot of NRE experiences, what advice would you give them?
Ooh, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is, like, to a certain degree, enjoy it, right? Because it is a great feeling, and it is, you know, something that, you know, you don't get to have all the time or forever. And then with that in mind, I think prep work is so good, of like noting down things, of like writing down, like, this is what's important to me, and these are some of my deal breakers, or these are things where, like, I'd have to really think about if I'd be okay with this. And holding yourself accountable by, like, going back to those and not, like, making excuses. Maybe even having, like, an accountability buddy of, like, okay, friend or other loved one, therapist, coach, whatever. Like, here's what I said. Here's how I'm feeling now. let's figure this out. So those are the two things that, like, come to mind for me first.
That's really, really good. That's one of the things I always say is, like, is this something that you would have done 6 months ago? Like, making a decision or something, like, 6 months ago, like the person you were 6 months ago, if they looked at you right now, would they be like, yeah, that's a great idea?
Right.
And then I try to remind people that when you're, like, moving slowly, it actually can prolong all the good feelings of NRE. Cause there's this kind of this fear that happens, at least for me, I get pretty anxious where I'm like, if I'm not available all the time, or if I'm not responsive all the time, or if I'm not always showing interest, they're going to lose interest in me, or this is going to go away, or the NRE is going to fade really fast. But actually what I find happens is when I slow things down and make sure I'm still really engaged in my life, that NRE gets prolonged and can last a year, 2 years. Like, it actually stays. It's like almost counterintuitive. We get this, like, anxious feeling of, it's going to go away and I want more of it. But, like, when you're chasing it, it goes away faster.
Yeah. And I also believe in, like, an attitude of abundance where, you know, I talk about this with people who are ending a relationship and feeling bummed about it, or they're having trouble with dating. I'm like, there's always another person out there. You know, it may not work out with this person, and maybe it's good, right, that it doesn't work out with this person, and there's going to be another one out there.
Yeah, always.
So I think that if we can internalize that, it helps take some of the fear away of, like, I'm going to lose this shiny object. Like, no, there's another shiny object that might be even better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big fear. Like, nothing will ever feel like this again. No, maybe not exactly, but it might feel better.
Yeah. Our brains are great at playing tricks on us.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. I love that. So NRE was a big growth area, managing NRE. I love that. I want to ask you this one, because this is one that I got asked a lot, and we have a similar thing. People asked us so many times, well, why even get married then?
We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Alicia here. You know, the voice you've been tuning into episode after episode. Today, I'm popping in with an invitation that's really close to my heart. Behind the scenes, I've been crafting something special just for you, my dedicated listeners. If there's a voice inside you that's seeking guidance on navigating the realms of relationships and non-monogamy, wanting to, like, boost your confidence and find that unwavering sense of security, or you're struggling to manage the tricky waters of jealousy, I'm here to offer my support. I've cleared my schedule to open up 50 slots this month for free one-on-one clarity chats directly with me. So this is your opportunity to dive deep into those pressing questions and come out on the other side with newfound clarity and direction. The availability on this is super limited, and these spots are going to fill up really fast. So don't miss your chance to connect with me. Head over to my website, aliciapayne.com, right now. Go secure your spot, because together we can uncover a path to a more joyful, fulfilling, and easy non-monogamous journey. Talk to you soon.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have this memory. I was at this this dance event in Virginia Beach, and in this dancing community, there's a lot of other non-monogamous people, and there's a wedding happening on the beach, you know, some distance away, and some people were making some smart alecky comments about, like, you know, polyamory and, like, not needing to get married and stuff. And that has just stuck with me. It's like, you're sure if that's your path, like, if you don't want to get married, cool. In my case, so I think at the point that we got married, some of it was like still having like some of that monogamous framework in mind of like, you know, we need this commitment to make it like permanent, which is, you know, some we continue to deconstruct our internalized beliefs. And then there's also practical reasons, like, you know, my husband and I have a child together. So there's a lot of things that are just easier if you have like that paperwork of like, okay, we're married, like I'm on his health insurance, you know, just all of these things where the system is set up where it makes more sense sometimes to have the paperwork than to not.
Yeah. That was ours too. Like medical insurance, unfortunately, is a thing we really have to consider and plays a big part in relationship decisions.
Right. Yeah. And we have other, you know, he and I have a shared long-term life partner who we've been seeing almost as long as we've been seeing each other. We're like, if we all wanted to, I'm sure we could have a wedding, even if we didn't do the paperwork. It's just, you know, we don't necessarily feel the need to throw the party and go through the hoopla for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's fun. We also have a shared long-term partner.
Oh my goodness. Just the Venn diagram here.
Uh-huh. Yep. Do you ever get jealous?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love saying that because like I really felt like as a baby polyamorous person, like I felt so much shame about jealousy and like, you know, if I were better that I wouldn't be jealous. And like, that's not real. But yeah, that's another growing point where I had to work to manage that and cope with it. And I definitely found that like the healthier a relationship was and like the better that relationship was doing, the easier it was to work with those feelings or not have that feeling triggered in the first place.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I have kind of always identified as a jealous person. And then I was like, and I want to be non-monogamous. So I better figure that out.
Right, just, you know, do things on hard mode. Absolutely.
Yeah, whatever. It's fine. It's just an emotion. It's okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you are also a relationship coach for polyamorous people and people who are creating offbeat relationships. And I know that one of the things you're working on right now or working with is helping people figure out what they want and what they need and how to break that down. So I'm curious how you do that.
So what I do with this is, so as far as like working with another person or like how I do this for myself.
Ooh. Are they different?
No, it's just internal process versus external process, right?
Sure. I'm curious how you do it with other people.
Okay. So what we do first is we sit down, we have a conversation about starting with, okay, do they have an idea of what they think they want and need? Because sometimes people like, they're like, I'm not happy, but I don't know what I want.
I just want to be happy.
Right? I just want things to be different. I want it to be better. Yeah. And so, you know, do they have an idea? If they don't, then there's exploring like, okay, what feels good? What doesn't feel good? What have you tried in the past? And we see if we figure out like, okay, what's kind of, you know, a possible destination, right? Because sometimes when we're in that journey along the way, our idea of the destination changes, or maybe not a destination, you know, cause life is a constant journey, but like a waypoint. So our idea of that might change, but getting an initial point of like, okay, I think this would feel good. This would be better than right now. And from there, breaking that down into like, okay, how could we like measure that? Because like, if our goal is, you know, I want to be happier, or even I want to have a good relationship. Mm-hmm. Okay, what does a good relationship look like? If you had a good relationship, how would you know? Would it mean like, you know, you were going out, you know, so often, or going out on dates together, or that you were not arguing, or you're having productive arguments, you know, and making that into like real behaviors that we can identify. And then once we have those, we figure out, okay, what are the steps that we take to get those things in your life, get you whatever skills you need to get to that point, whether that's individual or like in relationships, right? Because it could be a person looking to get there, or it could be like, you know, a monogamous couple who's looking to move into non-monogamy. So it's like, okay, let's, you know, talk about the steps for doing that, and doing that in a way that hopefully won't just blow everything up. And, you know, being proactive about preventing harm. And then from there, it's taking the steps and continuing to reassess along the way.
I love that. I think that all too often we get an idea of what we want. Excuse me. We get an idea of what we want, and then we get some idea of how we might get it. And we don't actually know what all the options are. Like, what are all the ways that I could get there? What are all the vehicles I could drive in? Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the only way to get there is to take a plane. Well, you could also take the train or the bus, or you could rent a car, or you could drive your own car, or take a horseback ride. Like you don't even notice all the ways you could get there, which I think having someone help you see all the different ways is so helpful. Because a lot of times what we think we need to do is blow up our lives, when really we could just do this thing that we, you know, you don't know what you don't know kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. And something that I find too is like, there's all this stuff that gets in the way of us figuring out what we want. You know, maybe it's toxic messages from like family. Maybe it's like religious beliefs we grew up with. Maybe it's just like societal norms. And like, there's often this like internalized shame, or just like sense of like, oh, no one else is doing this. I speak all the time to people who feel so alone. And like, I wish I could just get them all in a room together and be like, here's everyone else who's saying the same thing.
Right? That's so real. That's so real. Like, we need community. We need other people to let us know that we aren't the one weirdo out there.
There's lots of weirdos.
So many. We talk to them all day long.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh, that's so good. What would you say is, what is something that anyone can do for free that will help them approach relationships in a healthier way?
Ooh. So I actually have a video about this linked, I recorded a video about this. It's on my website. And so there's this tool called Rituals of Connection. And this was developed for relationships, but I think it's also good for the relationship with the self, not just external relationships, where you identify something that lets you connect with yourself or your person every day, or even multiple times a day, even if it's just briefly. So for example, let's say, you know, every time my husband comes home, I stop whatever I'm doing. I give him a hug. And we do a quick check-in about like, hey, how you doing? Like, you know, even if like dinner's going, even if the toddler's running around being chaotic, like just stopping and taking that moment to be like, hey, you're a person. I see you. You're important. And doing that with yourself might look like just doing a quick check-in in the middle of the day, like, how am I feeling right now? You know, and like, do I need to adjust something for myself? Because I think, you know, having that relationship with ourselves is also important for our relationship with others.
I love that so much. For me, I do like 8 belly breaths, like several times in the day. I just stop and like take a few deep breaths, just check in.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I love that. So good. So good. is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would want to share with the listeners?
So I think one big thing that I go back to time and again is the question why. And I mean this in two ways. One is, you know, I hear people say like, oh, I should do this, I should do that, or I shouldn't. And it's like, okay, but why? Like, who says, what does that mean? Like, what's actually bad about it? You know, so that why. And then the other why is like, why do you want something? I've been talking recently about like, so, you know, if you want to be polyamorous, if you want to try that, okay, why? Like, why now? Why is it important to you? What's interesting about it? So I think having that clarity is so important for figuring out how to move forward and get what you actually want rather than stumbling through a bunch of things that you don't want. Like, I learned a lot of things the hard way. And I think that not everyone has to do that.
Right? Seriously, that's so good. I love that. Knowing why also, it helps you stay on the path when things get hard. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Like, why is it that I wanted this? Why am I pushing through this hard thing? Oh yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that like there's something you're chasing.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Oh, I love that. How can people find you?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram at Randy Robbins LLC, same username on TikTok. I also have a Facebook group called Find Your Way, polyamory support and education. And yeah, those are the places I'm at right now.
Cool.
And my website, randyrobbins.com.
And I'm pretty sure I have all those links. I'll put them in the show notes.
Great.
You're amazing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, okay. I do have one more question for you that I almost forgot. It's for our segment, Just the Tip, which is for the supporters of the show on Patreon, patreon.com/notmonogamous. And the question is, what is your best or favorite sex tip? I love it. Thank you so much. That was amazing. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Amazing. That was Randy's Just the Tip. And if you want to hear it, you can become one of the supporters of the show, a friends with benefits, or a lover of Nope, We're Not Monogamous at patreon.com/notmonogamous and hear all of the juicy behind the scenes sex tips that the guests are giving you, as well as ad-free listening and the opportunity to chat with me every single month for a live group Q&A session, and also my undying appreciation. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Bye. Thank you so much for listening today. It would mean the world to me personally and would help us keep this little podcast going if you would subscribe, leave a review, or share this episode with your friends. For more personalized support with your own relationships, we can work together on a one-to-one basis. Just visit my website at aliciapayne.com and schedule a free call to chat about life, the universe, and your relationships. Bye.